Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey everybody, welcome to RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today. Not RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today, RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jeff Erickson and Chris Liss here.
Get together, man.
Get my stuff together. We are brought to you by WynnBET, W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. If you're in one of those six states that are they're allowed to do business, then please support our sponsor. They are our exclusive sponsor, and they have been all fall long. Chris, week two kind of stunk, for me at least. Early games were terrible, I thought, for the most part. Late games, I had a lot of Charger-Cowboy interest, and that was kind of disappointing. There was this untapped potential. DK Metcalf got hurt late in that Seattle game. We'll see what he's up to. But, man, how are you doing?
My week kind of sucked. We'll see. I got Green Bay tonight in Survivor, so it's gonna hinge a lot on that. I mean, hopefully it's just uneventful. But it kind of sucked. I've made some errors in my start sit decisions. I started the Browns defense over the Patriots, for example. I sat Michael Pittman for one of my many shares of Elijah Mitchell, who I got everywhere, paid up for him, had some shares already. That was a really weird mixed bag. There are just a lot of things. Like the biggest observation I have is like watching Derrick Henry just destroy Seattle and also catch passes, which was, new. I was thinking, it's so tempting to want to look around the corner and think, what's the next big thing? Who's going to be the next guy on the cover next year? Who's, Jonathan Taylor, like he's going to be awesome. He's going to be on the cover next year. He's the new guard coming into the league. And, and I want to get some more new guard players, some AJ Brown, some DK Metcalf. I want all the new guard guys, the future superstars that we're going to obviously see now are going to be that. And at least through 2 weeks, just being a donkey who said, well, I'll just take the guy who got the most carries by far last year, Derrick Henry. And round two, I'll take boring Joe Mixon. And round three, I'll take Cooper Kupp. And round four, I'll take Tyler Lockett. And round five, I'll take Adam Thielen. And I'll just have a boring team with, that's not next year's new thing. The idea is like, well, the NFL is a league where guys are in and out so quickly. So let's already move on. If you're drafting Todd Gurley 2 years ago, you're too late. If you're drafting the guy on the cover of last year's magazine, you're too late. But it turns out, like at least so far, like McCaffrey, everyone's drafting him, but Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, at least the first game, it's just the obvious guy is the obvious guy. And sometimes, that's just the way to go. And it's frustrating when you like to draft of a style where you're trying to find, what's happening before it happens. Sometimes what's already happened is the easiest thing.
Yeah, I'm sharp. I should be on this. The simpletons are taking Joe Mixon in the second round. Mixon didn't actually have a great day yesterday. No. So that was about maybe, yeah. But I'm in 17 leagues. I have zero Derrick Henry. I was like, pity the fool who doesn't have Derrick Henry this week. Oh, wait, I'm that fool. Right. I am the fool here. He's catching passes. They're throwing to him on purpose. They're designing plays for him. That's a development.
And just you watch the game, and he's just running these guys over. I mean, he's just – when he turned the corner to get that touchdown, I think it was the one that tied the game.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, they can't stop him. And now I've got Jonathan Taylor. We've got three carries inside the five just to start the game. I'm like, oh, this is good. And Jonathan Taylor's good. But he just got gang tackled and stopped. But, like, Derrick Henry, I'm like, they're not going to stop this guy. There's just no way. Why don't I have the guy that my feeling is, oh, they're not going to stop this guy. That's the guy that should be on my team. And so, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm still bullish on Taylor. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Marlon Mack and Hines got some carries. We'll see if Wentz is out because it was disastrous with Jacob Eason, but they did cover, which was nice. But yeah, it just, you know, yesterday it was Henry was the biggest story. And, you know, Tyler Lockett doing what DK Metcalf's supposed to do. Again, I think Metcalf will get his. I don't think that's I think that's just a matter of time. But it wasn't a great week for me either.
No. You know, there are certain things. Like, I did have Elijah Mitchell in a couple of leagues, and I actually used him. I had him in the NFFC Classic, a 14-teamer. I got him in the 20th round. Started him this week. That was not great. Not when he got that touchdown pulled back. That was brutal.
Yeah, I started him over Michael Pittman, who went off, and that was tough. So he actually cost me. It wasn't just like he didn't do as well as I'd hoped.
Right, of course.
He was a negative, and I picked him up for like $600 Fab, $700 Fab in one league, and I got him in every league. And that's such a weird situation. This is just the football issue. So he has 17 carries for like 41 yards, not very good. But the Eagles' run defense is really stout. Like, they're just – it wasn't really him. They're just hitting him when he touched the ball. So it wasn't really on him. And then he gets hurt. He hurts his shoulder. But then, of course, Sermon looks like he got concussed and fumbled, by the way.
Yep. His
first and only carry. And then Hasty got hurt his ankle. And Mostert's out for the year. And then Trenton Cannon was getting a carry. He's supposed to just there for special teams. So
right.
I kind of feel like Elijah Mitchell, we'll see. I mean, his shoulder, then maybe he's out 8 weeks because of his shoulder. Who knows, right? We could see that. Or he did come back in the game. Or no, it's just a stinger. He's okay. But the range of outcomes here is he's out for the year. Or he's fine and he's the starter and gets 20 carries next week and blows up. Or he's fine and he's the starter, but we just have no idea who's getting the most carries week to week.
Right.
It just, that was a really bad timing for him to get his job. I mean, I guess he did it week one. He did well. But, you know, against I felt like the Eagles just stuffed them. I mean, they were just in the backfield. It wasn't like he, you know, I just felt like he had nowhere to go. So, that's just a weird, weird situation with all the injuries, and he's hurt too. So, you know, we don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, are you holding on to Trey Sermon? You have him in a lot of places, right?
A couple places. Yeah. I'm holding on to him. I mean, unless there'd have to be a great alternative for me to drop him. I mean, there's no one established there, so it's wide open, but Sermon now is concussed and in the doghouse. He was already in the doghouse. Then he fumbled. So,
yeah. Although C also concussed. I mean, you know, that was one of those where, like, yeah, he fumbled because he got concussed.
Well, maybe he was just faking the concussion. Here's the thing. A real running back holds the ball even when he loses consciousness. So even if you don't fumble, even if you're running, you get speared in the head, you lose consciousness, you still remember to hold on the ball. Now, how do you remember if you're not conscious? How do you remind yourself to remember if you're not even conscious at the time that you're trying to do it? Well, that's just part of the training. That's part of being a professional. So I don't think the coaches are like, he was unconscious. You know, they're like, fumbled, you know?
Yeah, they probably are. So we'll see. We'll see. They finally go home. They were on the road the first 2 weeks of the season there. They didn't even come home between games. They trained out in West Virginia. They did the same thing last year when they had the double New York road game thing and seemed to work for them, aside from the bazillion injuries they suffered in New Jersey and the games themselves. But yeah, they have a ton of injuries again this year, but they still came through. That was a weird game. I mean, Jalen Hurts had like a pretty good fantasy day, but real life day, not so great.
He also threw a touchdown and was called back. I can't remember what. I think it was a bomb to Rieger. And then it was just a terrible game. It was terrible. And I had, you know, interest in the Niners backfield, and I had interest in Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. And it was just a terrible game. I don't know. It was really a disappointing game. The whole early slate, I felt like I couldn't get onto a game that I actually wanted to watch. It was just like anywhere I went, there was a commercial or there's bogged down with like a penalty. And I just felt like I just couldn't get into a groove. Now the afternoon games are actually pretty good, but the early games were terrible.
Early games were terrible. Joe Burrow, 3 interceptions in a row against the Bears. It was ugly. Then they And he came back and threw a couple, you know, he did some cool things. He had that touchdown to Chase after the interception that they got off of Fields. They had the touchdown to get it to within three, but then they just couldn't get the ball back one more time. He drew that penalty on the sidelines. You know,
oh, that was super cheap. Hold on. I screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things that worked out pretty, you know, were not great in the game.
That was the worst. I mean, dude, he went to the sideline and he kind of hesitated before going out of bounds, drew a hit. It was like it's like James Harden shooting a three-pointer and leaning into the eye. And then like flopped and got the call. And I was like, wow, that is some Weasley shit that you just did. That's Peyton Manning-esque when Peyton would snap the ball when the 12th guy was running off the, you know, he had 1 foot
on the field. Oh, he's like, great. Yeah,
Peyton's such a genius. Oh, that's so brilliant. It's like, no, that's cheap, dude. You're a cheap weasel. But your guy sold it. He got a ton. He still lost. And then stupid Justin Fields throwing a senseless pick up 20-3 or whatever it was. And
20-10 at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got the cover in hand and you just blow the cover. And now it's a push. You know? Jesus Christ.
Speaking of quarterbacks blowing covers, how about Matt Ryan yesterday? They get to three and then
love that.
Oh. They're actually at a threat of winning the game. Even I think they got the ball and they were down three.
Yep.
And then Tampa scored. They had that nice touchdown to Godwin. Pick six. And then they take them out after that. Come on. Oh, my God. You know, and the funny thing is, you know, Tampa probably was the right side all along. I mean, Atlanta just had that one weird run where they just in the middle of the game. You're like, where did this come from? But, you know, they were clearly an inferior side, but. Still, it was just that was the way I got destroyed in staff picks this week again, too.
Yeah, I was like 7-7-1, but it was just annoying. I mean, I'm going with my East Coast offense article from last week, which is just that it's Godwin's fumble instead of Godwin's law. That basically, if you start talking about luck, the conversation in my head is over. Like, I always think I'm unlucky and I'm just stopping that that train of thought because it is what it is. And when you zoom out, over the longest, it's kind of like pitcher wins, right? Pitcher wins are luck. But if you win 300 games in your career, you're obviously really good. It's really like 300 wins is there's nobody who wins 300 games who's not really good. So it's like in the short term, those things are luck. But over the longer, if you zoom out, like it's not luck. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on the small stuff. If they lose, they lose. And there was some super annoying stuff like that. But I'm just like, you know what? It was a bad pick by me. I made a bad pick because they didn't get to the point where that fumble wouldn't have cost them, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I did like the, I got some good covers with the Colts coming back against the Rams. That was good. Although Wentz, he got hurt, but even before that, it was Taylor gets stuffed three times inside the five. They're just running into the teeth. No, you know, no variety, get stuffed. And then on fourth down, Wentz takes it in the shotgun, and he's immediately under pressure. And he gets sacked on fourth down. It's like, dude, just chuck it. You got to just hurl it in the direction of the end zone randomly on fourth down. You can't let it not come out, that ball. And it was just, you know, Wentz, it was just a bunch of boneheaded things by him. But it was another tough, kind of a tough watch.
For sure. We'll talk about a couple more tough watches and things I got wrong. But first, a note from our friends at WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions. Not making a good decision, making the Steelers your best bet. Even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. Okay, so the game I'm going to do, as soon as we're done with the Sirius XM show, I start doing my rewatches. And actually, That's why I usually start the night before, actually. But as soon as this, the game I'm going to rewatch first is Raiders, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, and figure out what the heck I got wrong on this one here, because, man, this was never the right side. I was never on the right side. The Raiders were the better side the entire game. What did I get wrong on this one?
Well, a couple things. One is the Steelers were missing some key defensive guys, and I think TJ Watt got hurt at some point in the game too. But like
he did. Missing,
so they're already missing a couple of guys. I can't remember who was. Oh, Joe Hayden.
Joe Hayden was one, and then Devin Bush.
And Devin Bush. So like their best linebacker. Well, they're not TJ. Well, the non TJ Watt linebacker, and then you know. I don't know if Hayden's their best cover corner, but he's, you know, their clear starter there.
Right.
And you got Hayden and Bush, and then Watt gets hurt. So all of a sudden the defense is decimated. I mean, that's three key starters, especially Watt. And then, you know, their offense was terrible against Buffalo. They got a block punt for a touchdown in that game. They didn't really do very much. And the Raiders were missing some offensive linemen, but that was probably counteracted by the Steelers defense being so decimated. And the Raiders, you know, the Ravens beat the Chiefs. So like, the Raiders beat the Ravens, and I don't think the Raiders are that weak. And Carr played really well, you know, against the Ravens, and he played well against the Steelers. And the Raiders' defense got a little more heat, and the Steelers cannot run block. I mean, Najee Harris got a touchdown catch. He made a nice move down the sideline and dove into the end zone. But, you know, there's no room for him to run. So they're not establishing a running game. Ben doesn't really have the arm to beat you deep. You know, unless the Steelers defense is dominant, this is not a really good team. So I think you didn't know at the time that they'd be missing those defensive starters. But yeah, the Steelers, remember, they were 6-point dogs in Buffalo the first week.
Right.
So they didn't make the playoffs last year. They were not a good team. So I think they need to prove that they're good, I guess, you know, before start laying wood with them.
I thought them going into Buffalo and defensively, at least dominating the Bills, you know, maybe not. And maybe it's the offense is the real issue here. I don't, that's what I get at there. I mean, yeah, Carr had another big day, no running game, what to speak of. And they still move the ball. Yeah, I don't know. The Steelers did make the playoffs. Didn't they? I think they start 11-0.
Oh, they did. You're right. They played. Yeah, right. They did make the playoffs, but by playoff time, they were decidedly not.
Yeah, they lost to Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs. Of course, that was the interception fest. Yeah,
they were 11-0, and they were like 1-4. Yeah. And if at the time that the playoffs started, they were not one of the top 12 teams in football. You know,
they had a home game even, and the Browns just took it to them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I got that one way wrong. My second best bet was the Chargers. You know, again, I bought too much into week one. I really do. And, you know, and these teams in their DNA. Now, the Chargers-Cowboys game was really weird. The refs really came to play in that one there. They threw flag after flag. That called back touchdown. No, the Jared Cook called back touchdown. They never showed the illegal shift. They couldn't find it. You know, they didn't show a replay of it. It was just they are so focused on the taunting and talking about the taunting, because that's another thing. Come on, NFL. No one cares about this, but you know, they have to make that a point of emphasis. No, but they spent so much time on that and not the actual penalty that called back the touchdown in the first place. It was ridiculous. And you know, Staley was like, I couldn't even get them to tell me about it. You know, couldn't even tell me where the shift was. They never showed it. That was a huge call. You know, the taunting, who cares? That's marked off on the kickoff. That doesn't negate the touchdown. It's the shift that did. An illegal shift's like one of those stupid rules anyhow.
Yeah, that was annoying. I had the Chargers too. They would have been up 21-17. And then instead of tying it, and Dallas comes and kicks the winning field goal, right? They would have been up. Dallas couldn't have even gotten a field goal on the last drive. And how about the genius of Mike McCarthy settling for a 56-yard field goal? Holy crap.
I've got Greg the leg. We're fine.
56. I mean, he nailed it, which was annoying, but still.
Yeah.
That was crazy, but yeah, it should never have come to that. They should have needed a touchdown, and that was a bad call. Yeah, but again, those are things luck, Jeff. We never should have been in a position where a bad call could cost us that cover.
Yeah, well, the chargering was they were chargering.
Herbert threw a bad pick the prior drive. Like, what are you doing, dude? And I love Herbert, and I think he's going to be great. And I just, he could make any throw. There's one that was called back that was just absolutely zipped. But, you know, it's just not clicking yet. It's just not quite there. You know, it's a really narrow tree. It's Eckler, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. That's basically the whole thing. But it's just not clicking yet. There's not, they're not, I mean, this is Dallas at home. You should, you know, be putting up 35 against Dallas.
Well, Bulaga got hurt and, you know, Dallas's pass rush was actually getting to Herbert. On the other side,
he's out for half a season.
I know. Parsons was pretty sweet for the Cowboys. He played really good in that game. The other takeaway too is it was Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard was better than Zeke in this game. You know, even though Zeke got more snaps and he had his moments, he still was okay. But Tony Pollard looks like the real deal.
Yeah, he looked good, and I've seen him look good at times. I just, you know,
and maybe this wasn't him coming in at when everybody's soft and beaten down. No. This was early.
But it was, he got 13 carries. I mean, I like, let's say Zeke were out for a week and he had to get 23 carries or something like that. It's a different role, but I think this is a little more threatening to Zeke than like he had that. Zeke had that kind of crappy first game, but he got all the snap share and you're like, don't worry about Zeke. He'll be fine. That was the Bucs. But this is a little more worrisome where Pollard and him are sharing snaps, and it's McCarthy's not loyal to the old regime, you know, that drafted Zeke, and he's just going to be like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's Jerry Jones who drafted Zeke, so it's kind of and signed him, so it's still there. But you know, McCarthy's just like, we're going to mix and match the way we see fit, and so you could see Pollard and Zeke kind of being more like 60-40 Zeke instead of 75-25, and that makes Zeke a lot less valuable. But I do think let's not get too excited about Pollard on 13 carries and a few catches. I think that a lot of that's circumstantial and a lot of it's just, you know, early season light workload. Let's see what happens as they go on. You know, Zeke can do it 250 carries in. Let's see where Pollard is, you know, in a few weeks.
Maybe, but I think we're at least, he's more than just a basic backup. He's no Alexander Mattison. Let's put it that way.
Right. He's becoming more like Kareem Hunt a little bit. And that's the danger for Zeke, right? Is that if there's an actual 60-40 share, now you've got now you're going to lose some workload.
Yeah, the worries that we had for Derrick Henry, maybe we should have spent more time worrying about Zeke instead.
Well, Zeke does have a lot of career carries, more than Henry.
Yeah, but he does.
Henry just has 800 carries in the last 2 years, but you know, it's one thing. It's a little dangerous to get crystal ball-y about injuries, even with workload history or whatever. It's one thing if the guy's hurt, you know, coming into the year or something like that. But it's another thing just saying, oh, well, he's due for an injury. He's had a big workload. Man, Henry was really – I'm watching the guy play, and I'm like – especially with the catches, too. I'm like, oh, man. It's just so easy. It's so easy. And, again, it's just – it was an obvious pick. And, you know, just be a simpleton sometimes and just take the obvious guy.
Yeah. And I just – I didn't. Didn't anywhere. So it goes. Should have taken him over Jonathan Taylor. I'll say that. I regret that. I had my chances a couple of times, and
don't let people sour you on Taylor though. He had a bunch of carries inside the five. The first game he had like seven catches for a bunch of yards. That was the Rams defense. You know, you have Derrick Henry running against Seattle, and then you have Taylor running against the toughest defense. And the problem for Taylor is that Carson Wentz got two sprained ankles now. Both angles.
Yeah.
And that offense is going to suck. But I think, you know, remember, they get Jacksonville twice. They get Houston twice. They get Tennessee twice. Don't get sour on Taylor just because Henry looks amazing. I don't think those two things are related.
I'm more a little, and the snap share wasn't great for him though. It was like 30-25 he versus Hines.
Yeah. Hines got one carry and two catches and Mac was in there for a little bit, but
Mac had like 12 snaps also. That was the thing that was kind of annoying.
But remember last year, right? It was like that. There was Wilkins, even when Mac was out, right? Wilkins was getting in there and Hines was in there a lot. Mm-hmm. The second half, Taylor was like the number two or number one running back or number three is like, you know, because he's really good. And that shows over time, you know, we got to be careful about these small samples. I think Derrick Henry was just like, knock me over the head because it's not a small sample. It's been 3-4 years with Derrick Henry and he has no worse for the wear. And you could see that he's no worse for the wear. He looks better for the wear. He's even catching passes. So that was eye-opening, but I wouldn't worry about a small sample with Taylor and be like, Because after the first game, you're like, wow, he got like seven catches and he's in there on third downs. They designed to throw to him on third downs. Don't get soured after 1 week.
All right. All right. Yes, sir. Okay.
I mean, I'm not. I will see. If it happens for a few weeks, then you might get worried, but I'm not too worried.
Going to talk about the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Ravens. But before that, quick note from our friends at Yahoo. The new NFL season is finally here, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the opening of Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests, including the $1 million Baller Contest. The $1 million Baller Contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. I'm Jeff. He's Chris. We are talking about the week two slate and our reactions to it. Let's talk a little bit about the Sunday night game. Lamar Jackson started rough through a pick six on the third play of the game. You're like, uh-oh, what's going on here? They got it together. They were running incredibly effectively all game long. Murray got his. Jackson obviously had a massive fantasy day. Now, you know, you look the takeaway from this on the Chiefs side of things, Tyreek Hill was getting double teamed every snap. They were just not going to let Tyreek Hill beat them. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if every team can emulate that, but I didn't like seeing it when the leagues where I have Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you don't like seeing it, but there'll be countermeasures and they'll motion him or do something. You know, I don't think they're going to let teams just take away Tyreek Hill all year and just be passively not using him. Or they'll punish them so much with Kelce and other guys that that the team will have to mix it up a little bit. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's been in the league a while and they figured it out before. I thought the biggest takeaway from this game was that CEH, I mean, fumbled away the game at the end, but even before that was a terrible second, third round pick. He is not in on third downs. It's Darrell Williams every time.
Again.
Like last year. And CEH is okay, but his real skill is catching passes. So if he's not there on third down, and Mahomes so rarely looks to him. I saw him look at him wide open in the flat and then look away and throw to Kelce over the middle. Just like, you're there, but I could probably find a better play. Mahomes does not check down. He does not need to throw to him. CEH is not an important part of the offense. You could replace CEH with virtually a guy off the street and the Chiefs would barely notice. You're going to keep him because he's on the Chiefs. He's still the starter for now after the, you know, we'll see after the fumble, but that is looking, I only have him in one league, thankfully, but it's looking like a bad pick.
Yeah, it certainly is. Looking like a bad pick by the Chiefs, bad pick for us in fantasy. Yep. Mecole Hardman too, by the way, you barely notice him on the field there. Byron Pringle and, DeMarcus Robinson made bigger plays yesterday.
Yeah, Hardman was being used and he looked a little more smooth in a couple of catches, but I think that was mostly just because Hill was being doubled, so they had to, you know, mix it up. But the Ravens, I think Lamar Jackson is really underrated as a real, I know he won MVP, but I think people see that as a fluke. But I actually think he's kind of like Steph Curry in the sense that, like, Curry, I mean, everyone knows Curry's great. But, like, he's like Steph Curry in the sense that Curry, you got to guard him at half court. So then, like, there's so much room for everybody else to operate.
Yeah.
And I feel like Lamar Jackson's running not only makes every running back next to him Jim Brown, you know, 5 yards a carry, but also makes, you know, the safeties and the DBs have to, you know, stop the run. And then all of a sudden, Marquise Brown's just kind of sitting there by himself 20 yards behind the defense, and he just chucks it for an easy touchdown. So I think that guy he's just an average thrower. But that's enough. You know, it's enough to be an average thrower with that kind of running ability. And they're very tough to stop.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I'm looking forward to that. You know, when he gets Rashad Bateman in there, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of this team put together here, too. I think it's going to be fun when he has everybody at his disposal.
Yeah, no, he's. It'll be interesting. The other crazy thing is everyone's like, oh, so gutsy if John Harbaugh to go for it on fourth and one. Dude, I mean, you got Lamar Jackson to get 1 yard, and if you punt, it's Patrick Mahomes with more than a minute left to get 3 points to beat you with Harrison Butker, right, who can kick a 60-yard field goal. It's not courageous to go on fourth and one.
It's the obvious choice.
It's not even obvious. It's not even a choice. It's punting on fourth and one in that situation would be the same as punting on third and one on that situation. There is no difference. It's not even something you even consider doing, just because you could punt on third and one if you wanted to. You could have punted on third and one. You would not do it. You would not do it on fourth and one. The idea that this is like, I mean, how stupid would, I mean, how could you even consider it? Of course they won the game.
Because we've seen so many coaches consider it.
That's the only reason.
Anthony Lynn is calling on line three here. Yeah. Remember that the overtime game against the Chiefs last year?
He
had the same choice, essentially.
Yeah.
And but said, oh, I'm going to punt to the Chiefs.
Yeah. You know? Only because of that level of stupidity is this even, are people even talking about it? But also, he didn't have Lamar Jackson. I love Justin Herbert, but if you want 1 yard,
yeah,
Lamar Jackson's your guy. You know, I mean, it's
of course,
so easy.
Yeah. Of course, I'll grant you that. But point being is, your defense is dying out there. The Chiefs have been moving the ball up and down the field. It's not a choice. You have to do it. You see some bad decisions. I remember, like, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. This is early. You know, in the first quarter of three of the four afternoon games, teams had choices on fourth and one and just punted away like it was nobody. It wasn't even a discussion. Now, like, I think Tennessee did it once. Seattle did it once. Atlanta had the worst one. They got to the Bucs 48. They're already down 7-0. You know they're not stopping the Bucs all day.
Yeah.
They not only do they do this stupid thing where they bring out the punting, but then they line up like they're trying to snap the trom, drive them off sides. It's like, come on, guys. You're not fooling anybody here. Just go for it. Just call a play. Stop. Just stop with that tomfoolery. And I think they burned a timeout too when they knew they weren't going to do that. That's even the worst. That's like the ultimate. Just take the penalty at that point. Take the 5 yards.
Right. You know, so if you're going to punt, you know, just be a nutless monkey and punt. Don't be a nutless monkey about being a nutless monkey. Be a real man about being a nutless monkey.
Right.
Just be like,
right,
hey, I'm a real man. I'm punting. I'm a nutless monkey. I'm really owning my nutless monkeyhood, you know? But if you don't want to be a nutless monkey squared, right? It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb. You know, I watched Kyle Pitts make a couple catches. I'm like, every time that guy gets the ball, I'm like, oh, he's bigger and faster than everybody. I'm like, how are you not giving that guy the ball? I would hand the ball off to that guy. I'd be like, just give that guy the ball. When he catches it, it's like he's bursting over the middle. And I'm like, holy crap. That guy's way too big to be moving that fast.
Yeah, he can play.
I don't know what just come on. Just get it done. You know, I don't know what to say. Just get in the ball. Force feed that guy.
Yeah. Mike Evans got his. Everybody can get off the ledge about him now.
He should have been on the ledge in the first place.
Agreed. But, you know, there is week one overreactions. I am on the ledge about Rojo. I was wrong about him. That's another I was wrong tour 2021. I thought he'd have a big game against Atlanta. He didn't. He didn't do a whole lot early. He messed up late, missed a blitz pickup where Brady got sacked, and he just completely whiffed on it. You're like, he's never going to see the field in a passing down again.
Yeah. But all of Fournette looked terrible too. Fournette needed to get a first down, and he ran the ball, and it was like such a huge lane for him to go through. And he just ran right into the back of his own guy and fell down. It was like Trent Richardson-esque.
Yeah.
You know, find the pile of people and crash into it instead of just go around it. Neither of those backs have really looked good. And Gio didn't even play barely. Was he hurt? I don't know what happened to Gio. So it's all Brady.
I don't know if Gio has a whole lot left in the tank.
He's up there in age. And, you know, by the way, Gronk has 6 touchdowns in his last 3 games. 2 touchdowns a game. Every game he just gets 2 touchdowns.
On pace for 34 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right. And he just does 2 a game. And the thing is, you know, Brady, it's all Brady. He's just throwing the ball every play. So eventually they're going to need to run it, you know, when it gets cold out and there's wind and stuff. But with those receivers, you know, there wasn't a lot of Antonio Brown. Brady tried to get him on a couple throws and he threw it a little short, got broken up by the DB. But
it's going to be a different guy every week. I'm not on the ledge about AB.
No.
It's just, it is what it is. You know, it was his turn not to get a whole lot. And that happens with a lot of receivers. Yesterday, Tyreek Hill didn't do much. DK Metcalf, he didn't do much.
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown didn't do much, but those guys are going to be all right. I think, I hope. I'd be stunned if they're not, though. I mean, that's the thing. DJ Chark did nothing. I'm a little bit more worried about DJ Chark, to be honest with you, because Trevor Lawrence looked terrible.
Yeah, that's another surprise to me. I thought he would be good out of the gate. You know, I mean, the best quarterbacks, you know, Deshaun Watson comes in the league, was good right away. Russell Wilson comes in the league, was good right away. Patrick Mahomes, good right away. Andrew Luck, good right away. Robert Griffin, good right away until he wasn't. Most of these guys are just good. Like, they can play. You know, Kyler Murray was at least serviceable. I mean, he wasn't a great real-life quarterback, but he's making plays. Trevor Lawrence is not. And you say, well, you're comparing him to, like, you know, a pretty high level of QB. It's like, yeah, he's the generational number one overall pick. Yes. You know, he should be good right away. Like, he should be. Now, maybe Jacksonville's so dysfunctional that I was talking about this with Dalton on the Real Man Wood pod last week. But, like, people are like, oh, Urban Meyer sucks. That's why this team's going to be a joke. But it's like, Urban Meyer won national championships. He had success at many different places. And it's like, that's got to take some kind of skill. You can't be, like, completely idiotic or unable to manage people. I know it's not the same thing, college and pro. But it would surprise me if, like, a multi-national championship winning coach in college, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not a good coach. It would shock me if he was, like, a Freddie Kitchens bad coach, where, like, the team has no structure or function at all. It's like, you know, it's kind of like if, you know, I don't know, if you're like the best, you know, if Mike Trout sucked at your softball league, you'd be like, well, he might not be a softball player per se, but, like, I expect him to be good at this game. You know, if you're just striking out in, like, high arc, like, every time, you're like, wait a second, you know, so.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, it's different there is it's like he's going up a level and his stuff doesn't work with grown men. I mean, I always, you know, Steve Spurrier was horrible in the pros. Lou Holtz was horrible in the pros. But, you know, they're great all-time college coaches, and they struggled. Nick Saban struggled as a professional coach.
But it wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't like you could take a number one overall generational
Spurrier was embarrassing.
Maybe he was embarrassing. But you would think that you could, you know, be just like a normal bad coach. Like, I think Joe Judge of the Giants, he could be okay. I don't think he's splitting the atom. You know, I think your guy, Zach Taylor, is probably not a great coach. We'll see, but it doesn't strike me as a very good coach. But that's fine. That's normal. Burrow had, you know, is doing fine, you know, for where he should be out of the gate. And, you know, is it that Lawrence is just all hype and isn't really that good? Or is the system just so bad? Now, Denver's defense might be really good, by the way. They totally
that has something to do with it, too.
And the Giants look good against the football team. I mean, their offense looked good. So, you know, maybe it's that defense is tough. But they were in Houston. I mean, Trevor Lawrence put up some numbers in Houston, but he didn't look good against them either. So that surprised me. I thought he'd be ready. I thought he'd be like, we'd be like, wow, this guy's really good right away.
Well, perhaps the personnel on that team is so bad around him too. You know, the blocking and, you know, all the other stuff. Maybe that's part of the issue. I mean, he's clearly at fault for some of this. It has to be. You know, there's been a lot of missteps by Meyer though too, whether it was the way he handled like the domestic abuser on his staff at Ohio State and how he kind of slid out the door there, or the way he hired the disgraced strength coach from Iowa to be his Jacksonville strength coach, and then he had to let him go. You know, you heard the reports about you know, some of the talk about in camp how his stuff wasn't clicking with the veterans. Now, these are veterans that were losers too. I mean, granted, so maybe they're you know, you got to take that with the appropriate grain of salt. But there's enough little bits and pieces of evidence to make us think that, hey, maybe he's not good at this professional coaching thing. Or maybe he just needs to get his people. I don't know.
You also don't have to be good. You just have to be not all-time Freddie Kitchens bad.
Right.
Like, no one's saying you have to be John Harbaugh or Bill Belichick. You just have to be like Joe Judge. Like, Joe Judge is not, in my opinion, a great coach. But, like, the team's not failing because he's such a terrible coach. You know, it's like, they've got to just block better. When they do, they play okay. You know, that's most coaches are in the vast middle where, you know, the players aren't really succeeding or failing. You know, it's mostly because the players are good or not so good.
Yeah, that's right. Before I move on quickly, Julia asked about Matt Ryan. I just didn't have that many expectations for Ryan to begin with. I don't think he was regressing last season, and this is just a continuation of that path. He's going to have his moments. He's got Ridley and Pitts. So there's going to be some good moments here and there, but I also think the Bucs pass rush has a lot to do with this too. The second pick six was all about him getting just buried in the pass rush.
I thought he looked good. He was keeping them in the game. He was making tough throws under duress. He's making good decisions. Yeah, those pick sixes, I mean, it's desperation time, and he's just, you know, trying to get something done, and they're tipped passes. It happens. But I thought he looked okay. I thought Matt Ryan really bounced back after looking terrible against Philly. So I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I don't think, you know, he's obviously not mobile. He's 36. He's not in his prime. But I think he's perfectly serviceable for fantasy and to support the receivers that he has.
Yeah, for 1 year. And they have nothing behind him. That's the other thing. They don't have like an up-and-coming rookie. They don't have anybody. So he's going to get tons of attempts all year. I think that part is true. Before we move on, a quick note from our friends at Vivid Seats. Preseason football has wrapped up, and we're ready for the regular season to kick off. Live events are making a comeback, and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NFL tickets and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Man, that feels great to say. Even better, they just launched a new and improved rewards program with free tickets for every fan. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, your favorite artist, or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks to Vivid Seats. Thanks to our Blue Wire sponsors for the Blue Wire network that we are on for our podcast network. A couple other games I want to break down here a little bit with you before we go. Let's talk a little bit about the Thursday night game. You know, we always have our last show on Thursday, and then we never really talk about the Thursday night game. But it's your Giants. We got to talk about it. Danny Boy looked good.
He did, and the line was then it couldn't run block. But I watched the rewind, but I didn't see all the replays. But I think it was Kevin Payne or somebody told me that that Washington was just selling out to stop Barkley. And so Dimes, every time he took the ball himself, had a huge running lane. He should have had that long touchdown, but for a hold, he should have had another touchdown that Slayton dropped. I mean, he should have thrown a little shorter because he had to reach out for it, but he still should have caught it.
Yeah.
But he looked good.
Huge play in the game, by the way, too. Yeah.
And he should have caught it. Obviously, that stupid offsides on the field goal was ridiculous. I mean, it was so dumb. They should have won that game. But it was actually encouraging. The first game was really discouraging because they lost in the same way they lost every game last year, which is getting dominated up front and not keeping their defense on the field, which eventually breaks. But this game, they actually looked good up front. They couldn't run block, but their receivers were open. They were making plays. Danny Dimes was throwing the ball. He was mobile. He looked like a good fantasy quarterback. And you see that this guy can do it. He can make the throws. He's mobile. And they got rid of the ball a little more quickly. So, I thought it was actually, despite the horrendous way in which they lost, a much more tolerable game.
Yeah, it was. It was. Tyler Heinicke in that same game looked good. He got not super mobile, but you know, mobile enough, and he got McLaurin going.
That is something that I like seeing there a little bit there. Scott Fishbowl. I have four quarterbacks. I picked up Henneke. It's a super flex league. So, you know, I was kind of aggressive in picking up Henneke. And I didn't use him, Chris.
Would you start over him?
Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And I think I used Roethlisberger because against the Raiders, one of that. Lawrence was horrible. And we get negative points or incompletions in that league. So Trevor Lawrence's game was negative. It was a negative point game. He was like 14 for 33. I mean, he was awful.
Yeah, that was a terrible game. It is what it is. One other note that I realize is the Texans. Even so, we didn't talk about this Browns Texans.
Well, we'll do that in a sec. I want to finish one other thing about Giants and Washington. Dimes or Heinicke the rest of the year?
I would take Dimes probably, but it's close. Heinicke didn't look that mobile in that game.
Yeah.
I think Washington will be running. I don't know. It's close. I'll say Dimes.
All right. All right, very good. All right, we haven't talked Cleveland yet. We haven't talked Pat's Jets. Let's or Bills Dolphins for that matter too. Let's Bills talk. Dolphins. You said you wanted to talk Bills Cleveland. Dolphins.
That's a stupid game because Tua got hurt and it was a joke. But let's talk Houston Cleveland. You know, there was a point where Houston was up 14-7.
Yeah.
And Mayfield made a tackle after a pick, and he was like grabbing his arm on the sideline.
You're like, uh-oh.
And I'm like, survivor alert, you know, because I was like, whoa, this is getting interesting. Of course, Baker comes back, and then Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. So not only was he not hurt, the other team's quarterback got hurt, and Tyrod Taylor has actually been a difference maker this year. So, you know, they lost 31-21, and I had the Browns to cover, which I didn't even get that either. So I got the worst, I got middled. But I will say that, that the Texans, even when they were down, you know, they were driving and playing, and they are not giving up. The Texans are, for at least for now, like they're taking the season seriously. And it, sometimes you see a team like that, and you're like, oh, what a laughing stock of a team.
They think this is a fight. Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, they're actually trying. And, you know, obviously professionals, they should be trying, but it's kind of like, oh yeah, the Texans, they're bad, but they're not just going to roll over. So I don't know. I just noted that.
Yeah, I'd agree. Now, Tyrod Taylor getting hurt was a big play in that game, you know, because Davis, Taylor was actually moving the ball. They were actually playing a lot better with him, and they play on Thursday against Carolina. So Davis Mills will probably see him, is my guess. Just, you know, if he was declared out that quickly with a hammy, it's usually 4 days usually isn't going to be enough.
Yeah, and a hamstring could be, you know, 4 months. I mean, we don't know. So, and then the question is for the super flex leagues too, like, what about Deshaun Watson? Right. I mean, he's sitting there, and it's one thing if you're like, well, we signed Tyrod Taylor because we thought this guy might be suspended. Now we have Tyrod Taylor. This guy went out and did all this stuff. And again, like the allegations haven't been put into like a public evidentiary hearing yet. And they may never see the light of day. We'll see, except for like, you know, on Twitter or whatever. And so they might be like, all right, well, now the guy that we brought in because of what this guy did, is gone. And the other guy might not be, you know, it doesn't really look like he's ready for a serious NFL. I don't know. You know, and so the super flex leagues, like I wish I had picked up Watson. I've kept thinking about it. Like I just kind of sitting there. I guess Taylor's playing well. There's no real reason. But now I don't know. I would say there's like a 20% chance they just say, okay, we're gonna play him. Because like, what's the NFL gonna come out with a suspension right this second if they do that? I mean, what are they gonna do?
Yeah, it's a good question. Good question. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're not. I mean, he's not even practicing. I mean, I don't think he's up to speed right now. And it's new coach. The coach has, you know, David Culley has no connection to him whatsoever. So
it's one of the top five players in the NFL.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
I mean, I don't, again, this will be a test of how serious the Texans are, right? I said the Texans were serious. They're not just mailing it in, they're trying. This will be a test because if they're actually, you know, Davis Mills, they're not going to win. That's just not, you know, it's going to be a miracle for them to win a game.
Yeah.
But if it's Watson, you know, this a borderline playoff team all of a sudden with Watson. So that's a big difference. Although
meanwhile, they're facing a Carolina team that's 2-0 and just stomped the Saints.
Carolina might be good because if their defense is good, first of all, Sam Darnold has been good the first two games and he looked good against a better defense, although they were missing a lot of key guys like Lattimore. But woe to the Jets. I mean, the Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to be prophetic if Darnold turns out to be a star. Not, I don't mean just like if Darnold's like, you know, pretty good, if he's kind of like, you know, Andy Dalton or something at his peak, yeah, they'll be bummed because, you know, he was good. But if he's a star and Zach Wilson's bad, there's going to be some, you know, defenestrations among Jet fans. I think that would be intolerable to use the third pick and then trade him away for later picks and then get a new guy. And the guy you traded away is the star. That would be, I don't know.
The problem was you all along.
Yeah. But more than just the problem was you, like you gave away the, you know, the holy grail, the superstar quarterback that you already had and didn't know. So,
right.
I'm rooting for Darnold now. I'm shifting gears. I'm rooting hard for Darnold.
Yeah. I knew you would. I knew you would. So, the other thing is, you did one other Deshaun angle, and Julia brought this up. This is a good point. You know, Miami, you know, was the team that was rumored. Right. The Miami owner loves Deshaun Watson, wanted to trade for him. Now Tua's hurt. Jacoby Brissett looks helpless out there.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett's terrible. Yeah, I mean, if they're serious and they're 1-1 and, you know, nobody's running away with that division, they're, you know, they're still in it. Obviously, everyone's 1-1 except the Jets. And you can, would they take Tua and a first for him? That seems like a big haul for a guy who's, you know, under the cloud of these allegations. So would they do that? I don't know. You know,
will it be offered for that matter?
You know, I don't know what Houston's doing because they did not, you know, they were unhappy with Watson. Watson was unhappy with them. Actually, Watson was unhappy with them. And of course, I'm unhappy with Watson. And then all these allegations come out and they seem plausible. We'll see again when they're litigated what the deal is really. But and now he's not been suspended, but they're just sort of like punishing him. It's so weird, you know, because you almost feel like if they didn't have the bad blood before this, because they're two separate things, right?
Yeah.
And that you'd think like they would just let him play to it and say, you know, we take these allegations seriously, but it's up to the NFL to take action. Basically, it's not, you know, because it's not like it's not like the team, sometimes the team will suspend a guy just on its own, but they're not suspending him. He's not suspended. He's being paid.
I don't think they can suspend him. I think it's part of that collective bargaining agreement.
So,
I
mean, but they're not playing him. So they're like, you know, they're doing that. So if they don't want the PR hit or they don't want the headache or they don't like him, trade him, get something for him.
Yeah. If they can, everyone's probably like, let's let this play out first. So it's this limbo that they're in right now.
Why let it play out if they can get something for him?
Might be quietly saying to him, we're not going to let you do anything until this gets resolved too. I mean, could be part of the calculus.
Legal? Is that legal for the league to say that? Like, it doesn't the league have to make a ruling? Otherwise they don't have any authority to say whether you can trade somebody, right?
Maybe, but maybe they're just on the down low saying this is what we'd rule. But we want to kind of keep this quiet. We don't like, I don't know. You're supposed to be the conspiracy theorist here, not me. I don't know. I think they're putting the kibosh on it.
Theorist. This is conspiracy theory.
Yes, it is. It is. A couple other things to watch out for. Deontay Johnson, we got to see if he's okay. DK Metcalf, got to see if he's okay. There's going to be a lot, you know, all these quarterbacks that got hurt. Wentz, Tua, Tyrod Taylor. It's going to be a chaotic week with injuries.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad for those QB flex leagues, and I have Wentz in one of them, so that's going to be ugly. We'll see. They're mostly scrub QBs, but they matter for the teams and the teams they're facing and the receivers they have on their team, so we shall see.
We shall see. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. For more, check out Chris Liss's NFL Observations article. You can see that up on RotoWire, rotowire.com/try. You get your free 10-day trial if you don't already have access to RotoWire. So check that all out. No credit cards required. Just plug it in, get your use a valid email address, and off you go. If you don't like it, which you're crazy if you don't, but if you don't like it, it just goes away in 10 days. So you don't have to do anything affirmatively. Just sign up. Check it out. Check out all my rankings that'll come up tomorrow for week three on the value meter. Check everything else up on RotoWire. We're going to take off. Joe and Jake are with you tomorrow with a lot of free agent opportunities to discuss. Thanks for listening and watching. Have a great day.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, But Greg doesn't have the athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.